Wayne and Kieran coming from Bluntisham Baptist Church to lead our service this morning, and thank you for doing that. While they're here, and as I've mentioned a few times before, all through November and partway through December, there'll be Christmas cards, calendars, Bibles, books and Christmas gifts to buy at Bluntisham Baptist Church's Beacon Caff. That's open on Wednesdays from 2:30 until 4:30, and all proceeds will go towards the Next Steps building fund. So if you haven't thought of Christmas presents yet, there's a good suggestion for you. Now, on Tuesday, we were meant to have a church members meeting, but we postponed that due to Keith being in hospital. So I'll be leading the prayer midweek meeting by Zoom. That'll be at 7:30. And just to mention that David and I went to see Keith on Friday. He was quite bright and talking and receptive, quite positive. Alison was there too. And we were surprised when we walked by that in the next bay, Robert Reed was also there. He'd been rushed in the day before for kidney failure. So please do remember them in prayer. Next Sunday, David will be leading our service in the morning. Thank you.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
As Paul said, my name is Kieran and I am a member down at Bluntisham Baptist Church. Some of you may remember me from earlier in the year where I came and shared my baptism testimony with you. So thank you very much for welcoming me back. It really is a privilege to be here this morning. This is actually my first time leading. I'm going to be honest with you, I'm a little bit out of my comfort zone, so please be gentle with me. To tell you the truth, when Wayne actually emailed me about this, I actually misread the email and I thought he just wanted me to come and read at the service. No problem, I thought. I'm happy with reading. That's not a problem. Turns out he wanted me to lead the service. Slightly different thing. Now, my first thoughts were panic, fear, dread. Oh, you know, nothing I've done before. You know, this isn't something I can do. But as is often the case, the Lord knew differently. 2 days after Wayne and I had spoken, I was reading my Bible app, and the following verse of the day came up. It's from Judges chapter 6, verse 12, and it reads, "When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.'" Now, at this specific time, Gideon himself was hiding in fear from enemies. He didn't feel strong or courageous, a bit like how I was feeling about leading. But God was announcing what he could do through his powerful presence. Now, if any of you have the Bible app, you may know that these verses often come with a devotional message. And the devotional message that came with this verse finished with the following words: "What about you? Where might God be inviting you to trust his presence and power in the middle of your weakness? What could he be calling you to step into? Not because you feel ready, but because you have a willing heart and because he promises to go with you. The Lord is with you. Wow, that felt like God was talking to me and telling me that despite my fears, he would be with me. And as I said to Wayne, I felt this was a challenge, an invitation from God for me to put my trust in him and step out of my comfort zone, and he would be with me. And this called to mind Psalm 56:3, which says, "When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you." So, this got me to think about how all of us can get caught up with our own fears and worries and insecurities, so much so that we might miss the challenges and invitations from God that can help us to grow in ourselves and also bring us closer to him. So, how can we remember that when we're afraid to put our trust in the Lord and his plans for us? So, as eagle-eyed might have seen some props that I brought in. So, this pot here represents, it says you, it's you, it's me, it's all of us. Now, we're out here in the world and we're all carrying our own fears and insecurities around inside us. And these things can sometimes feel really overwhelming and scary. We're afraid. But we have God on our side. We can put our trust in the Lord, and the Lord is with us. Jesus tells us at the Last Supper in John 14:16-17, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." So, we have the Spirit, and the Spirit lives inside of us. So, we now have the Spirit sent to live inside of us. Lost my space now. Not only that, he also tells us that I, as in this is Jesus, will be... I've really lost my space here. Okay, yes. He goes on to say in verses 19 to 20, "Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you will also live. And on that day, you'll realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." So, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And Jesus says that you are also in me. So, we are in Jesus. It's a logistical nightmare. Not only that, he says, "I am in the Father." So, now we have. So you can see yourself in there now. How much safer does that look inside there? When you think about all your fears and worries that you're carrying around, when you put your trust in the Lord, you are safe with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. So, my hope and prayers for you this week and beyond are that you're able to release your fears and worries to the Lord and know that he is your safe refuge. And remember the psalm, "When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you." And when you do this, know that the Lord is with you. And for anyone who's unsure of these things, my verse of the day today, completely unplanned, this just came up, only sure that God's not talking about this. Psalm 23:4, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Amen. Let us pray. God, thank you for taking fear's power and replacing it with love. We know there will be times when we feel afraid, that your Spirit will help us not to live in fear. Please replace our doubts and fears with thoughts about what is good, godly and true. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we will now sing our first two songs, Trust and Obey and Great is Thy Faithfulness, both of which can be found in the Songs of Fellowship.
Glory he sheds on us.
like Wayne to introduce today's sermon.
Good morning. I wanted to, instead of doing my introduction during my talk, I thought I'd do it earlier because it sometimes can be a bit long. And so I want to get right straight into it. Our subject today is prayer. And after what Karen said, I thought maybe I should have changed my subject to something else because I don't need to preach, do I? You got a terrific message, and I trust you'll really take it to heart. But it was on my heart that I want to talk about prayer. And prayer is such a vast and an important subject. But this is only going to be one aspect of our prayer. We're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 9, and I did ask you if you could read it during the week, and I appreciate you doing that. But have you noticed when people pray, very often, before they say the amen, they say, "We pray this in Jesus' name." And it's important because we must pray in Jesus' name. We must pray according to His will. But sometimes, and I catch myself doing this, we say it as almost a formula. Because I say that, I'm going to get it. And, well, not necessarily at all. There's a story of a little boy that was struggling at school, and he took an exam, and he knew he did bad. And so he prayed, "Lord, please make London the capital of France." In Jesus' name I pray this. Well, that wasn't going to make a difference, was it? Because Paris is the capital of France. And we need to pray when we pray according to what God wants us and according to what Jesus wants us to pray, that will then be answered. And the way that we know what Jesus wants us to do and how to pray is by reading His Word and knowing what God is like, and we'll be one with God. Try to illustrate this. Glenna, can you raise your hand so people who may not know you? Glenna's my wife. Now, the first person that comes to Glenna and says, "Wayne said you'll give me a £5 note." If you do that to Glenna, ask Glenna, she will give you a £5 note. You know what? That reminds me of another passage in the Bible. It says, "You do not have because you do not ask." Now, if you went to Glenna and said, "I want £5, she wouldn't give it to you. Because you didn't say, "Wayne said to give me £5. If you asked her, "Wayne said to give me £10, she wouldn't give you £10. Because I said, "Ask for £5. Am I making sense to you? Yeah. And if you ask for something else, or if you went over to Sandra and said, "Sandra, can I have £5? No. "Wayne said so." You wouldn't get it. No. It's asking in the name of Jesus. And the closer you are to someone, you have a better chance of getting the £5 note. As I said, we're going to talk about prayers. During a couple of months ago, at our fellowship, we had a prayer meeting, and our minister, Simon, gave everybody a sheet, and it was called 10 Great Prayers of the Bible. And it's got Bibles of prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of petition, prayers of confession, prayers of praise, because prayers covers all kinds of things. And I really did appreciate it. I really liked it. And so, after the service, each of you will get a copy of that. Okay? Thank you very much. Hope that was a fairly good introduction.
Thanks, Wayne. Thanks very much. Definitely something for us to think about there, for sure. Can I invite Paul forward now just to lead us in intercessory prayers? Thank you.
That introduction, we're going to pray, and and ask for God's help in the way I pray, and the way He receives them, and the way you're thinking about them. Let's just come to our Lord in prayer. Lord, we want to bring many things on our minds and on our hearts to you in prayer. We think of our world, we think of different conflicts in different places. We also hear in the media of this possible peace solution in Ukraine. We know there will be difficulties, we know there will be more negotiations, there will be deadlines. But Lord, we do pray that your hand might be upon this work, that some form of peace could be given to Ukraine. And Lord, we just pray that your hand might be upon that. We also think of other areas of conflict in the world, Gaza and Israel, and conflicts in Africa. We still see on the media different forms of destruction and death and war within the world. And Lord, we just want to pray for those areas. We pray for people, Christian people in those areas who are helping practically and who are helping people who are suffering. We want to pray for our mission workers, those who are working to bring the gospel to places of difficulty, places of conflict, and places perhaps who've never heard of you. Lord, we pray for our Grace Baptist mission and those missionaries that we pray for regularly. We ask that you look after them, that you would watch over them, and that you would protect them where they are. Lord, we pray for our country here. Many things to pray for. The upcoming budget, our government, the Prime Minister, the results of the COVID inquiry and the consequences of that. And we just pray that your hand would be upon this country as these things proceed. We also pray, Lord, about this assisted suicide bill that's still rambling on. And Lord, we just pray that you would intervene, that many Christian MPs and influencers, the CARE organisation, would be able to influence people to go against this bill and change people's minds. Lord, we pray for our royal family. We hear of many difficulties that they're going through now in relationships, in their family organisation, and Lord, we just pray for them. We pray that they would come to know you as their Saviour, that they would turn to you. Lord, we sometimes read the media and see the media and are not sure quite what to believe or what's true, but Lord, we know that they are suffering, and Lord, we just lift them up before you. And Lord, as we think closer to home, we pray for our village here in Needingworth. We pray that with the upcoming Christmas services, that people would come. They would see our invitation in the Villager, that people would come to the Christmas services, the carol service. We pray for the practicalities of the Christmas service, the readings, the singing, the music, the projector. Lord, we would ask for your help in providing those things for the people that come. Lord, we pray for many people to come and to help and to serve you in this place. We pray too for a pastor. Our need is great, and we just place this before you at your feet. Lord, we want to lift up to you our friends in hospital. Keith, we've already mentioned. We do pray that the doctors, nurses and specialists will be able to sort this chest infection out for him, and that he might be able to return home soon. We pray for Robert Reed too, and again we pray that he will be able to be released soon following further investigations. We continue to pray for Rhoda at home, unable to get out and looking after her husband. We pray for Sally Beeman in the care home. It's good to see her the other week, and we know she visits home regularly, and we just pray for her. And we thank you for her witness where she is. Lord, we just thank you too for the men that come to preach. We thank you for Wayne and Kieran and others too who preach. here in this place. We pray for Bluntisham. We thank you for their support. And Lord, we just ask that you would hear our prayers and answer them according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much, Paul. We'll now join together in singing our next song. It's Eternal Light, and that can be found in Grace Hymns, number 19. Today's reading is from the book of Daniel, chapter 9. This is from verses 1 to 19, and it's entitled Daniel's Prayer. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. We and our kings, our princes, and our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God, or kept the laws he gave us through his servants the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us, because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing on us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come on us, yet we have not sought the favour of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster on us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does. Yet we have not obeyed him. Now, Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned. We have done wrong. Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our ancestors have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favour on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. I'd like to invite Wayne Ford now to come and share God's word with us.
Please.
Father God, we give thanks to you for your servant Wayne and the time he has spent over the last couple of weeks preparing to bring us your word. I pray that he has felt your presence with him, has discerned your guidance and wisdom, and that those of us present here today have open hearts and minds to receive your word through him. We lift this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning to each of you this morning. Lovely to be here. Thank you again for your warm welcome that you've given us. We always get a warm welcome here. We much appreciate it. Thank you ever so much, Karen, for leading. Really did appreciate that. And Paul, thank you for leading us in our prayers, and Kathy for helping us with the music. That is so, so valuable. We really do appreciate that. And I thank you too for coming prepared by reading the passage that I asked you to. And if you would, please, have your Bibles open to Daniel chapter 9. I think it's 8 on page 895 in your pew Bibles. So if you're looking quickly, that's a good way of finding it. As I said, we're talking about prayer. And it's sort of a mystery, isn't it? It is a mystery. I read recently that Tennyson wrote these words. He says, more things are wrought by prayer than the world dreams of. And that was Tennyson that said that. We often use the expression, prayer changes things. And yet, like I said, prayer can be a mystery. Like this passage here that Kieran read for us. God had said through Jeremiah that Israel would be in captivity in Babylon for 70 years, and then they would go back to their own country. That's what God said. And yet Daniel prayed. So why should Daniel have to pray if God's going to do it? That's one of the mysteries of prayers. I don't have the answers.
But I do know that we are commanded to pray, and therefore we should not neglect prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ, he prayed, and he himself is God, but yet he prayed to the Father in heaven. How important it is that prayer is. As we said, you do not have because you do not ask. Prayer is so very important to us. Let me give you a bit of a background for this prayer that Daniel prayed. If you would turn back to your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, page 471, where we would read where the situation where it happened. The Israelites had a various number of bad kings in Judah. In fact, in the beginning of it, you got four kings, after a short period of time, were disposed of because of the evil that they did. They did not turn to God. And in verse 15, we read, "The Lord, the God of their ancestors, sent word to them through his messengers again and again, because he had pity on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked God's messengers, despised his words, and scoffed at the prophets until the wrath of the Lord was aroused against his people, and there was no remedy." Solemn, that is, no remedy. "He brought up against them the king of Babylon, of the Babylonians, who killed their young men with the sword, and the sanctuary, and did not spare young men or young women, the elderly or the infirm. God gave them all into the hands of the Nebuchadnezzar. He carried to Babylon all the articles from the temple of God, both large and small, and the treasures of the Lord's temple, and the treasures of the kings and his officials. He set fire to God's temple and broke down the wall of Jerusalem, and they burned all the palaces and destroyed everything of value there. He carried them into exile to Babylon, the remnant who escaped from the sword, and they became servants to him and his successors until the kingdom of Persia came. The land enjoyed its Sabbath rest all the time of its desolations it rested, until the 70 years were completed in fulfillment of the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah." I think it was about 597 BC when Nebuchadnezzar came and surrounded the Jerusalem and took some of the people captive. He took King Jehoiakim captive to Babylon along with his wives, a mother, officials, prominent people of the land. And I believe this is when Daniel was also deported from Jerusalem into Babylon. He was a teenager. He was probably good looking. He was an intelligent young man. And so he went in to be part of the king's servants, shall we say. And according to Isaiah, when he spoke to Hezekiah, Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and those others, were probably all made eunuchs as well. And Daniel served there, Nebuchadnezzar and the kings there after following, from that age, he was probably a teenager. And he did that until he was about 90 years old. And then in 586 or 587, Nebuchadnezzar came again and destroyed the temple, ruined the city, and left only the poor people, as we read there. And Jeremiah the prophet was one of those people. And he spoke to the people in Jerusalem, but he also sent letters to the people in Babylon. And in one of the letters, in chapter 29 of Jeremiah, we would read the words where, got to be marked someplace. Yeah, a letter to Jeremiah, Jeremiah 29, to the exiles. And this was the context of the letter that he wrote to the surviving one. And he said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is God's word that he's telling them. Build houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat the produce, marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. You know, this is another reason why we should pray for the peace in the country that we live in, and for this prosperity. Because when a country prospers, we too will prosper. It's no good to moan about it in a bad situation. We need to pray for our leaders, for the royal family, for what we have, because when that peace we have. So that's sort of the background of the prayer that Daniel had. And notice the first thing that Daniel, how he prayed in verse 2. By the way, this probably takes place about the same time that Daniel chapter 6, with Daniel in the lion's den. You remember he was caught praying to God 3 times a day as he normally does. This might have been one of the prayers that he was praying. It was the same time, because he got thrown in the den because he prayed. Never mind that. That's another passage. Anyway, he said, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah. Daniel came to God in prayer because of what God's word said. He believed God and acted upon it. And therefore, I say to you, it's important that you know what the word of God says. The only way you can do this is to read it and to study it, to listen to it as God's word is preached. And that's when Jesus said to his disciples, "When whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." It follows the teaching about being connected to the vine and being in touch and knowing God. We become one with Jesus, and we would ask and live as Jesus would live. The closer we are to him, the better chance that we know what his will is, and we can ask. By knowing God's will, we can ask confidently what he would want. We can also ask confidently if we know the character of God. What he desires is because what God desires. I'll give you some examples. Abraham, when he prayed for Lot in Genesis chapter 18 and 19, he asked boldly that, you know, God, it's not your character. It's not your character that you would destroy the righteous with the wicked. So therefore, I plead with you, save the righteous people in that country. Don't destroy it. And he said, will not the judge of all the earth do right? Of course he will. And then Moses is another one who prayed, knowing the character of God. When he prayed for the people in Numbers 14, I think it is, when he was saying to the God was going to destroy the people because they wouldn't go into the promised land. They were afraid. We're like grasshoppers and they're giants. We can't do it. And God says, you don't trust me. You don't believe what I've said. Like what Karen was saying earlier, he read God's word, he believed it, and he acted upon it. These people didn't. They were terrified. And so God said, blow you, I'm going to destroy you. And Moses says, that's not like you, God. What are the Egyptians going to say? They're going to say to you that you can't do it. And so you brought them out and killed them. You're not doing what you said you could do. He pleaded on the character the character and the attributes of God himself. David is another one. Several of David's prayers in the Psalms and during the Psalms, he prayed according to what God had said. He pleaded for mercy, according to God's loving kindness. And one of those prayers that promises that we have in the Bible is that I will never leave you nor forsake you. So when we're feeling desolate, we say, Lord, you are with me. I know that. So enable me to do what you want me to do. And then in verse 3, he comes humbly, but with boldness. Daniel is so ashamed of the situation of Israel. He comes in sackcloth and ashes, along with fasting. Now, fasting is a biblical principle. It's taught in the Old Testament. It's taught in the New Testament. The people in the Old and the New people in the New Testament practiced fasting. In fact, Alistair Jolly, you know, Alistair, who comes here with me, he's preaching in Bluntisham, and his subject today is on fasting. So, it is done. The Bible tells us, but we've got to be careful about fasting as well. It can be partial, it can be total, but we mustn't dismiss it, nor must we become slaves to it. It's the attitude of the heart. Isaiah 58 will tell you what true fasting is. The Bible, Jesus says that he calls us his friends. Paul says that we believers are joint heirs with Christ. We are brothers and sisters with Christ. And so we can come to God confidently, encouragingly, but at the same time, I'm a bit uncomfortable when people approach God in a sort of a matey sort of way. You know what I mean? When they become almost too familiar with God and treat him, I don't know. God is God. He's an awesome God. We are his children. We can come to him as a father. But we treat him with the respect and that he deserves. And this is the way that Daniel comes to God. He is the creator of the universe. He sustains. We come boldly, but we come humbly as well. Verse 4 talks about how in his prayer that he comes to God, he worships God. He doesn't start his prayer to God and say, "Look, God, you said in 70 years you're going to release this and we can go back to our home country." That's what the Bible said, but he didn't go that way, did he? He didn't start that way. He started out with worship and praise to God. He worships, he recognizes who God is. He thanks him, he praises for all his attributes. And how we need to do that. Sometimes, I remember years ago when I was a young Christian, I heard these great men of God praying. And they were praying how great God is and the blessings he was and what he does and everything. And I thought, they're almost like, I felt that they were buttering up God to say how nice God was. And now, would you give us what I'm wanting? It's not that at all. When we do these things, we are recognizing who God is and who we are. And we should stand in awe of God and worship him. And you'll notice when Daniel prays this prayer, all through that prayer, he worships God. In verse 7, he says, "Lord, you are righteous." Verse 9, "The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving." Talking about the character of God. And verse 15. "Lord our God who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand." He acknowledges what God is. As Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, he said, "But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God will be with you." And then the fourth part of his prayer is confession. And my goodness, he names his sins one by one. I don't know about you, but sometimes my prayers, and I confess, we do confess our sins. But my sins, my prayers of confession are quite often quite general. I know I've sinned. And I can't remember anything, but I'm sorry for the things I've done that I shouldn't have done. Very general. Not Daniel. He names them one by one. Verse 5, he says, "We have sinned and done wrong." Verse 6, "We've not listened to your servants." Verse 7, "Unfaithfulness to you." Verse 8, "We have sinned against you." Verse 10, "Not obeyed the Lord or kept the laws. Verse 11, we've transgressed your laws. Verse 13, we've not sought your favor. Verse 15, we have not obeyed him. You know, I think that's really remarkable, the way that Daniel did not hold back. Of all the characters in the Bible, that the main characters I'm talking about, that we know a lot about their life, they started off good, many of them did, and then they, at the end of their lives, they kind of trailed away, became cool in their faith toward God. And this is something I've prayed that for myself, that I won't do that. I'll stay fervent for the Lord all my life. But Daniel, he started out as a teenager there in Babylon. And he was working in the government. How many people in our government can stay faithful and true to God all those years? For 90 years, for 70 years, he was 90 when he finished there. But he was faithful to God in that time. And we don't read of one single fault of his life. David committed adultery. David committed murder. Moses killed somebody. And he died God. Abraham lost faith in God a couple of times. He was a man of faith. And other people as well. Samson and Elijah and what have you. But not Daniel. And I think it's remarkable. And of course, in that, in his prayers, he didn't say, my people. He included himself. He confessed his sin. And, you know, every one of us have sinned. And if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth isn't in us. If we say we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. But Daniel, like Jesus, Daniel identified himself with the people. And then in verses 15 to 19, he finally gets down to the nitty-gritty, shall we say, what he really, really is wanting. He cries out in desperation. After the praise, confession, he comes to God. He pleads with God because of his character. He pleads with God because the people bear his name. Ask your question. Do we weep when we pray for the lost? Do we pray for their souls with tears in our eyes, knowing that they just need Christ more than anything else? And notice he pleads not for their sake, not because of our own righteousness, but for the sake of Christ, for the sake of God. For your sake, do this. For your mercy. There in verses, 17 onwards. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions for your servant, for your sake. Lord, look with favor. Give ear, our God, open up your eyes in the desolation that bears your name. We don't request these things because of righteousness, but because of your great mercy. The things that he prays for. And then Daniel looks for a speedy recovery, or a speedy answer to that. You know, we might feel or even be in the wilderness right now, a situation that we're away from God's house, away from God's presence. And you maybe feel God's hand is heavy upon you. The answer, of course, is to repent. Turn to him with all your heart, soul, and mind. Confess your sins and name them one by one. Plead with God because of his character. Plead with him because of what Jesus has done. Because you bear the name of Jesus. This chapel bears the name of Christ. It's a representative of God to the whole community around. And in our lives, the Word of God says that he's not willing that any should perish. So when we come to God to pray for a lost person, we say, your word says that you're not willing that any should perish. So I'm asking you in the name of Jesus to fulfill your word and save this particular soul, this particular person. And another promise is that God will, his people, he will keep He'll keep them in his hand. And we see somebody that's straying from God. We pray that, Lord, your word says that they are in your hands. Keep them. Bring them back into a right relationship with you. In another place, we say, pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. Your word says that, and you will do that. As you read the Bible, and when you come across a promise in God's word, believe it. Act upon it. Kieran did that, didn't he? He saw that promise of God and about, I will be with you. Do not be afraid. And Kieran said, I will not be afraid. That's the way that we should read the word of God and act upon it. He says he'll never leave us or forsake us. Do you feel forsaken? As you pray, claim this promise from God. And you know what? God answered that prayer. Almost straight away. If you look there in verse 20, chapter 9. And it says, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of the people of Israel, making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill. While I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen earlier in a vision, came to me in swift flight from the time of the evening sacrifice. The angel came swiftly, Gabriel, to give the answer. And in Ezra chapter 1, that follows the Chronicles, the two Chronicles. And it said, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make proclamation throughout his realm, and also to put in writing that the house of God would be built back in Jerusalem. God answers prayers, and he answers quickly. He answers our prayers today. And I just pray that this prayer that of Daniel might be an inspiration for you to pray, to follow along. And like I said, I've got some leaflets or these sheets with lists of other prayers. I put 11. I know our minister put 10. But there's so many. There's so many prayers that are recorded in the Bible. And you might have your favorites. But there was one extra one that I had to add. And I think you'll find they are a blessing to you as well. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you are a God who is alive. You hear us. You want your name honored in our lives and in our chapel and in all that we do. May that be the case. Help us to pray according to your will. Help us to know your will. Help us to pray according to your word and according to your character. Help us, enable us to know you better, to walk the way that Jesus walked, to live the way that Jesus lived, that when we speak, we're speaking his words, that through it all, that you might be glorified. May your word bless us abundantly. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Our last hymn is going to be on the overhead projector, and we're going to sing In Christ Alone. It's one of my favorites. So I hope you will enjoy and stand singing it.
Done.
Thank you, Wayne, for bringing us God's word this morning, and to all of those who've helped to bring today's service together. Thank you all for joining us this morning. I'd like to leave you with this final blessing. May God the Father prepare your journey. Jesus the Son guide your footsteps. The Spirit of life strengthen your body. The three in one watch over you always on every path that you follow. Amen.
Amen.
I hope you all have a blessed week ahead.
Well, yes, it's the same. One is kind of oversized and has